Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, July 30th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today is the Reverend Craig Kellerman, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. Good morning, Pastor Kellerman. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. Tell us about Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho.
Well, Faith is kind of a smaller congregation. We average worship about 85 people. Faith, being in Mountain Home, Idaho, we're kind of right in the center of Mormonism, so that is the predominant faith, you know, of the community people, although we do have a large Christian population in Mountain Home as well, but it does impact our size and things. There's an Air Force base here in Mountain Home that we try to serve also.
Well, very good. You're there delivering God's good gifts to the people there in Mountain Home, Idaho. Glad to hear that. We are going to take a look at Acts chapter 24, verse 24 through chapter 25, verse 12 today. Any background on the text or any context you'd like for us to understand before we dig in?
Well, I think, you know, that it's important as we look at where the Paul's situation, you know, at this point, if we go back to Acts chapter 21, where God had told Paul that he was going to be testifying about me in Rome, and you know, all this then is happening to Paul, so that he would end up there in Rome to be preaching.
Very good. We're in Acts chapter 24 today. If you have questions, listeners, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or the email address kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some emails as we're digging into Acts chapter 24 and 25 today with Pastor Kellerman. Chapter 24, verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. All right, so we have Felix here, came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. What do we know about Felix?
Well, you know, he had been appointed to be the governor of the area from the later, you know, from verse 27, we learn that he was not really wasn't very productive in his reign. He seems to be a man who was a kind of afraid to take a side or to oppose the Jews at all. As far as Felix and the relationship with his wife, this was Felix's third marriage, and Drusilla had already been married once too, and then left her first husband to be with Felix, and so they were living in that kind of a relationship, an adulterous relationship in that sense. And certainly Paul would have addressed that.
And so Felix sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus.
Correct. You know, Felix's wife, being a Jewess, she knew that, you know, she had some knowledge of it and certainly had shared some of the background with Felix. And so we're told earlier that he knew about the way. So he had, you know, that knowledge of a bit of what was going on. And certainly he would have known of the controversy that was going on between Paul and the Sadducees, who were so opposed to Paul's preaching of the resurrection.
Verse 25, and as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." And at the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. So as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. I don't want to talk to you right now."
Yeah. Well, you know, isn't that really our human nature?
Absolutely.
When we're told that we're in the wrong, we become very defensive. We don't want to hear it. You know, in the case with Felix, you know, going back to just for a moment to the verse before, when we're told that Paul was speaking to him about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. You know, I think that it's pretty clear that Paul was speaking to Felix about the cross. You know, that Christ had been crucified, but he had also risen. You know, and so the faith in Christ is faith in both points. As far as the righteousness, you know, that's the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. The difference that it makes in our lives is it gives us hope and comfort as we look to the future, to the promise of eternal life. But it also requires a putting away of the old life. And with the self-control bit, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit changes us and would motivate us to live a godly life. And so Felix was definitely pricked to the heart concerning that matter. And I think it's always, or it's just our human nature. Go back to the fall when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, and immediately they gave excuses as to why God shouldn't look at them, and they didn't want to hear it. And that's been the history ever since.
At the same time, at verse 26, at the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. So he was hoping Paul would bring him money, huh?
Well yeah. And, you know, and I think some of the biblical scholars and things would maybe refer that to the money that had been brought. You know, a collection had been gathered for the Christians who were suffering in Jerusalem. And so Paul was, you know, part of his reason for going back to Jerusalem was to take that offering, and it's sometimes assumed that Felix had knowledge of that, and then he made the assumption that Paul could get money too, and while bribes were not legal, they were very common. On both sides, those trying to defend themselves, but also those who were trying to prosecute someone, and so that money was that money was something that Felix was seeking.
Felix wasn't very smart. He was trying to make money off of a missionary.
Yeah.
He doesn't know much about church workers, does he?
Isn't that the truth? although I dare say there's some that have become quite wealthy.
Well, that's
their,
true.
With their ministry, you know? But, yeah.
So he had hoped that Paul would give him money, so he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Why was he doing the Jews a favor by leaving Paul in prison?
Well, by leaving him in prison, Paul wasn't able to just go out and preach openly like he had been, although his prison was more of a you know, a home prison, you know, where he was just kind of just to stay there rather than be out, but out and about, and so by restricting his movements, then they could also restrict how much Paul was able to speak to the people there, and continue to spread the word of the gospel.
Very good. Well, listeners, if you have questions today as we're studying the text, we just wrapped up chapter 24, getting ready to embark on chapter 25. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're studying with the Reverend Craig Kellerman, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying. We'll pick up around the beginning of chapter 25. Hope you can join us as we continue studying God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, LIRS.org.
Join the residents and staff of Richmond Terrace Assisted Living for their third annual spaghetti supper, Friday evening, August 15th, starting at 6. In addition to a delicious homestyle meal, the event will feature a silent auction and gift basket raffle, with all proceeds going to support seniors who can no longer support themselves. Tickets are $10 per person. RSVP with Katri or Patty at 314-646-8000.
Welcome back to His Time. We're studying the Daily Lectionary today with the Reverend Craig Kellerman. He's pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. And we're in Acts chapter 24 and 25. Pastor, any other comments about the wrap-up of chapter 24 there before we go on to chapter 25?
Yeah, you know, I would, because I really didn't get to the point of the coming judgment. You know, while we don't want to be told about our wrong at the current time, it's also quite frightening to acknowledge that there will be a day of judgment before our Creator, you know, and people of our day don't want to acknowledge that or even think about it, and so the idea that when Felix said go away, you know, I'll wait for a more opportune time to call you. I think that's so very common amongst people today, too, is that, well, we can worry about the spiritual matters at a later date, not right now. And if we can kind of put it off, it might not happen. It's rather interesting. Yesterday on the radio, I was just listening, and they started talking about a woman who had said that she wished that she knew where she was going to die, because then she would avoid that place. You know, as if to assume that if she didn't go there, that she wasn't going to die. You know, and I just think that really hits home today too, when we're having to speak about the day of our judgment, the day that God calls us to give answer to our faith.
Absolutely. We can't, only the Lord knows our days and our moments and orders our days and our lives, and only He can. We, just by thinking, by predicting what the future might hold, or, you know, attempting to predict what the future might hold, doesn't mean that we're ultimately in control. Only the father is.
Correct. And, you know, and that's why he tells us, boy, you need to be ready. You don't know what day that will be. So you not need to have your spiritual affairs in order. That means having the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and being ready for him to come and with the certainty that whoever believes won't perish but have eternal life. And it's just so important that we don't delay. You know, and I think it also speaks to us who know and believe this truth, not to become complacent or lackadaisical in our own spiritual walk and in our spiritual growth.
Well, chapter 25, beginning with verse 1, let's take a look at that. Now, 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul that he summon him to Jerusalem because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So he said, "Let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him." Let's pause there. So now 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul and urged him, asking as a favor against Paul that he summon him to Jerusalem because they were going to ambush and kill him on the way.
Right, that was their plan. They had said that they weren't going to eat or drink until Paul was dead, and so this was the plan. You know, to get to have Festus bring him back and. And they would overwhelm him, and put him and kill him.
And they urged him, asking a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So why is Festus going to see Paul?
Well, you know, that was his responsibility now as the governor of the area, that he needed to make sure that justice was carried out. Paul had, or charges had been made against Paul, and so it needed to be followed through. And one of the things we need to remember is Paul being a Roman citizen had those rights, and he hadn't been treated so well. His rights really had been ignored for on numerous occasions, and so it was a very touchy situation that Festus found himself in. And part of being a citizen meant that a person would have a choice as to where they wanted the trial to take place, whether it be in his hometown or in the place where the charges were made. And so for Paul, he was basically requesting, "No, I'd like to stay here in Caesarea," knowing that that it would be very difficult for him to receive a fair trial in Jerusalem, being that the Jews had raised up such a large crowd against him.
And so he said, "Let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him." Let the men of authority among you go down with me. Who are the men of authority that he's referring to?
Well, that would have been the Jewish leaders, the leaders of the Sanhedrin or the Sadducees, the Pharisees, that group.
And if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. Why is he putting this back on them?
Because they were the ones making the charges, And they were, again, charges that seemed to carry very little proof or reason for what they were demanding. They were asking that Paul really be put to death, and you know that serious of a charge needed to be defended with evidence. And so that would be the natural thing for Festus to say to them is, well, you need to present your case solidly. I'm not going to just do what you ask just for the sake that you've asked it.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Acts chapters 24 and 25 this morning with the Reverend Craig Kellerman from Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. The phone number, 314-821-0850, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Our email address is kfuo@kfuo.org. Verse 6, after he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Paul argued in his defense, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense." But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." So after he had stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. So now Festus who is with them for 8 or 10 days, correct?
Correct.
And he went down to Caesarea. He took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. And when he arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. What were the charges, you think? Is this all speculation, I guess, at this point?
Well, I don't think it's total speculation. One of the charges that they brought against him was they accused him of defiling the temple. You know, when Paul had gone to Jerusalem, he had with him Trophimus, who was an Ephesian, and would therefore be unclean to enter in the temple, and because they had seen him with Paul, they made the assumption that Paul then also had taken them into the holy place of the temple, thus defying the temple. So that would be a very serious charge. They were also accusing Paul of doing the same thing they accused Jesus of stirring up the people. Which would bring fear to Caesar, you know, and certainly then to Festus and things that, and so they were saying, well, hey, you need to get control of this guy, so I don't know that they were just, you know, trumped up charges, although they weren't accurate, but they were very specific charges, you know, and when things aren't going our way, then we often try to bring in other things to make our accusations stick, you know, and then we might start exaggerating those things a bit when it doesn't seem to be going our way, and I think that's what was happening there with with the people and with Festus. You know, it's kind of interesting too that it said, you know, he stuck around Jerusalem for 8 or 10 days. He didn't just hop right up to Caesarea thinking, well, you know, I've got to get right to this. And I think that further upset the Jewish leaders as well.
Paul argued in his defense, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense." So he just states in his own defense, I haven't broken the law of the Jews, the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. At least not anything serious enough for this.
Correct. You know, and he really didn't even elaborate as to which law. He just, you know, just said bluntly, I haven't broken those laws. I haven't. I'm giving you cause for all of this, and I'm just going to let my record stand on its own. Basically, is what he was saying.
But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor again, said to Paul, "Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and be tried, and there be tried on these charges before me?" Why is he asking this?
Well, I think we can clearly see Festus' concern with the Jews. You know, that them making up a great deal of the population. He didn't want to start off his governorship with a major problem, and so he was going to see if he could appease them that way. But of course, he had to plead to Paul to go to Jerusalem because he couldn't command that. It was Paul's call as to where he wanted to go to trial, and so certainly the Jews would have loved to see him go back to Jerusalem, where all of the strength and the numbers against him would have been extra pressure upon Festus to convict Paul, to stamp their charges and let it be at that.
But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar."
Okay, you know, and here I think we see Paul reacting in a very controlled manner. I'm not so sure that I could be so calm if those kinds of charges were being made against me. But Paul, you know, calmly says that he wants to be tried there. That it's fitting that he's going to, you know, he was acknowledging Festus's position and wasn't trying to put him down at all, and said, you know, I'm going to trust that I'm going to get a fair trial here from you, and so let the charges be made, and then you being a man of responsibility will decide whether I'm in the right or the wrong, and then we'll act accordingly.
Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." So here we have it. You've appealed to Caesar, that's where you're going to go.
Correct, you know, and again, Paul was also looking that if it took him all the way to Rome, that's where it would take him.
Looking back over the text as a whole today, looking at chapter 24 and 25 up through verse 12, Pastor, is there anything that you would like that you think we should gain from this, that we should learn from this today?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think for me, and when I was asked to preach, I chose to preach mostly on, use the first verse or the last verses of chapter 24, you know, with the whole idea that that he was preaching on the righteousness, self-control, the coming judgment, you know, faith in Christ Jesus to Felix. And Felix's response was, well, not now. You know, there will be time for it later. And I just think all of us need to be aware that there might not be a later date. We just don't know what that time will be. And so we need to be prepared. And it means being willing to listen to God's word when it's directed towards us. Even when we don't like it necessarily, we know that it is being shared with us for our spiritual well-being, for the salvation of our souls. And so that's, I think, one very important aspect. And I think a second one would be our relationship with our government and our leaders. Where Paul was being charged with falsehoods, he still accepted the situation for what it was, and knew that then it could he could go before the courts, and that was going to be his responsibility to bear with that. You know, and I think the day is coming as for Christians too that there's going to be much more resistance to the faith, and we're going to be called to face those challenges, and we need to do it, you know, rather than run from it. You know, Paul was encouraged by his friends not to go to Jerusalem, that it wouldn't be safe. In much the same way that Jesus was told by the disciples, hey, Jesus, you know, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you there. And Jesus' answer to them was, well, this is what must be done. This is what I've come to earth to do, to suffer and die for the salvation of people. And for Paul's case, it was he was to preach the message, and we too need to preach the message, even if there's some fear of repercussions. We need to do it boldly and faithfully, not cowering to false charges. But to remain steadfast. And
what was it that gave Paul the boldness to preach, to stand up in these situations? Why was it that Paul was able to be so bold? What is it that he was given that we too might be given?
Well, Paul would just flat out say it was Christ Jesus. You know, Christ living in him. That the change that had come upon Paul from being a zealot who was out trying to persecute the Christians and do away with them. When God met him on the road to Damascus and changed him, then Paul was given that zeal to go out and to preach to the Gentile world especially, and so I think, you know, Paul would be the first to say that it was Christ working in him and nothing else, and I think that's the same for us, that Christ living in us gives us that power and the strength, and of course he tells us that he sends his Holy Spirit to give us further counsel and guidance, direction, as well as courage.
Very good. Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Acts chapter 24, verse 24 through chapter 25, verse 12, with the Reverend Craig Kellerman, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. Pastor Kellerman, thanks for being our guest this morning, helping us study God's Word right here on the Daily Lectionary study.
Oh, you bet.
God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Faith Lutheran Church in Mountain Home, Idaho.
And to you.
Thanks. Coming up in a little bit, we've got a new segment. Have you ever wondered, you know, what can I do in my daily vocation, in my daily place in life, wherever I am, whether it be in an office or at school or whatever it might be, wherever your place in life might be, what can I do to tell the good news of Jesus to my neighbors, to my friends, to family members? How can I be a witness? How can I witness on a daily basis regularly? I don't have the words always, you know, I'm not eloquent of words, as some might say. I just don't know how to talk about those things, or I'm kind of scared to talk about those things, about God's word and Jesus with friends and neighbors. Ever wondered how to approach that topic, or been afraid to? We have a new segment. The Reverend Mark Wood is the new director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's prepared a new segment called Witness Wednesdays. And so every Wednesday morning at this time, at about 8:45, you'll hear from Pastor Wood on simple things that you can do in your daily life. What does it mean to be a witness is what we're going to take a look at today. So he's got that coming up here in just a few minutes. Hope you can join us for that. And in our first installment of Witness Wednesday with Reverend Mark Wood, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.